Okay, so in 2012, I took a walking tour of Ponce de Leon Avenue. It was led by this guy.
My name is Paul Hemlock. I'm the Director of Education at the Atlanta Preservation Center.
We started at the Beltline and walked toward Moreland Avenue, and when we got down to the Briarcliff Summit, the big red brick building with the yellow top floor across the street from the Plaza Theater, Paul dropped this on us.
A little Al Capone history here in Atlanta. Does anybody know why Al Capone spent time here in Atlanta?
He was in prison.
He was in the federal prison. All right. He was in the federal prison, but he is known to have frequented places all around Atlanta. He had, he was known to have an apartment, all right, to have a suite here. He's also known to have rented out the whole top floor of the Claremont Hotel. Okay. He's also known to have frequented bars all around Atlanta. So he was in federal prison, but yet he was able to go to these places and have suites and everything else.
What?
That was the first time I had heard of that. Al Capone living in a penthouse apartment in Midtown Atlanta? That's a fun little story, right? Probably a tall tale, but it sounds plausible given how powerful the notorious gangster was known to be. The story doesn't stop there either. There are a number of variations. I spoke to writer Doug Monroe. Doug is an editorial contributor to Atlanta Magazine and the former senior editor of Creative Loafing. He's been writing about the South for a long time.
Capone dug tunnels underneath the Claremont and connected different... I think at one point there was a tunnel that connected to the Highland Inn.
Sharon Foster Jones, in her history book Atlanta's Ponce de Leon Avenue, writes that he was also rumored to have stayed the night at the Woodruff Inn, which once stood on the corner of Ponce and Myrtle Street. Another variation I've heard is that Capone used to stay at the Georgian Terrace up on Peachtree. Of course, this is all hearsay. I can't cite a source for any of this. I heard it from a guy who got it from some person. So, leaving rumor behind for a moment, Amy Bonesteel wrote about Capone's time here in the October 2005 issue of Atlanta Magazine. According to her account, he arrived in an armored train car on May 4, 1932. He was 33 years old. He was assigned prisoner number 40886. Capone had been sentenced to 11 years to be served in the Atlanta Penitentiary for failure to pay federal income taxes. He would only serve 2 years here in Atlanta before being transferred to Alcatraz. So where does that leave our urban legend? Again, Paul Hammack.
This is a story. I don't know if it's totally true. It's part of the folklore.
Yeah.
And I think as long as we try to view it through that context of folklore, it's malleable. And to tell you the truth, a lot of history is more malleable than people like to realize. You know, it's true until something else proves it otherwise.
And with this story, that something else, well, that's the reason we're talking about this at all. Here's Doug Monroe.
Last year, the Claremont Hotel went up for sale, and a couple of news articles appeared about it, and they included the sentence, "Urban lore has it that Al Capone once lived in the Claremont Hotel." And the Associated Press picked it up, and I found it on WSB's website, and the Atlanta Business Chronicle had it. And my son was laughing about it because about 20 years earlier, he made the story up for fun.
I'm Matt Monroe. I grew up in the Atlanta area. I currently live in Philadelphia, where I work as a lawyer.
I caught up with Matt Monroe at the Majestic Diner. We sat in a booth by the window with a good view of the red brick Briarcliff Summit building across the street.
You take a look at the building and you say, well, look at it. I mean, this top floor is like a penthouse. It looks very ornate. And there's sort of like this block in the middle of the building. You know, there's these two windows. It's kind of out of place. It looks very utilitarian. Looks like it's perfect for two gunmen.
Gunmen to guard Capone, of course. In 1995, Matt was working as a cook at Eats, a restaurant there on Ponce. He would also occasionally bartend at the local, a bar further up the street. And he would tell people this story, using either the Summit or the Claremont as the location, whichever one happened to be closer.
And, you know, it got such a good reaction from so many people. It was so satisfying, like, just to see people were actually believing it.
You know, his lies were always just normal enough to be believable.
This is Maggie White.
I recently sold Youngblood Boutique. I still am co owner of Youngblood Gallery.
She and Matt were friends and neighbors back in the mid-90s.
You know, I've probably passed that story along to, you know, 2-3 dozen people at least, and who knows how many people they've passed it along to. But it's definitely, you know, grown. Like, that story has legs now.
Could that be all it takes to create an urban legend? One guy telling some story to friends plus 15 years, give or take? I pressed Matt on the history. I told him about Capone being imprisoned here in 1932. He gave me a blank look.
Did you know that? I did not know that.
Oh my God.
So,
okay.
So I think this is, I think you educated me. So
you weren't aware of like of any other stories about Al Capone flooding around Atlanta before you told me?
No, I wasn't.
And he could have been playing with me. To be honest, I don't really mind. The story that he allegedly made up out of whole cloth and the story behind that story are fun and ultimately harmless. They also happen to be a lot more fantastic than the truth. In Amy Bonesteel's Atlanta Magazine article, she describes how inside the Atlanta penitentiary, Capone was a quiet guy who read sports magazines and letters from his family. He actually became a victim of thugs inside the prison who assumed he had money and were determined to extort it by threatening him. He did start one fight in his cell the night the guards came to transfer him to Alcatraz. He attacked a guard, shouting obscenities, but only after being told that he'd have to leave his family photos behind. It's a picture quite far removed from the image of a carefree Capone living in penthouses and frequenting local bars. Matt Monroe says his story adds a kind of mythical element to these places that you walk every day.
I mean, if you go and drink at the Righteous Room, you look across the street, that's the coolest thing. If you think that you're in the same place where Al Capone was, you know, at that point 70 years ago or whatever, and to lose that, it's to lose a little bit of the magic.
And really, which would you rather keep alive? The broken gangster stuffed into a cell with 7 other cons? Or the larger-than-life celebrity kingpin, out free and roaming the streets and tunnels of Atlanta? For WABE, I'm Mike Johns.